Today is Friday, May 15th, 2026. This is your functional health briefing for patient. In the next 6 to 8 minutes, we'll explore how chronic low-grade inflammation silently accelerates aging, why metabolic flexibility may be the most underrated pillar of long-term wellness, and what women specifically need to know about training and nutrition that most research has simply never told them. Here's something worth sitting with this morning. You do not have to wait until something goes wrong to take meaningful action on your health. That's not just an encouraging thought. It's a clinical observation from Dr. Robin Berzine, founder of Parsley Health, who shared it after more than a decade of work with over 50,000 patients. The healthcare system most of us navigate is largely built to manage problems after they appear. But a growing body of functional medicine work is pointing toward something different, finding and addressing root causes early, before symptoms become diagnoses. One of the most striking ideas Dr. Berzine introduced is something called inflammaging. Think of it this way. Imagine a pilot light in your body that's always slightly on, never quite turning off. That's chronic low-grade inflammation, and over time, it quietly accelerates the aging process throughout every system in your body. You might recognize it as persistent brain fog, that tiredness that doesn't seem to have a clear cause, joint pain that comes and goes, or recurring skin issues. What feeds that pilot light? Blood sugar swings, elevated fasting insulin, food sensitivities, and chronic stress. All things that can simmer for years without triggering a red flag in a standard annual checkup. The encouraging part is that inflammation is measurable. Markers like fasting insulin, fasting glucose, and something called high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, which is essentially a blood test that flags general inflammation, can tell you a great deal about what's happening under the surface. Most people have simply never been offered those tests. Building on that picture of inflammation comes a concept that Dr. Berzine and wellness researcher Mark Sisson both independently named as a cornerstone of long-term health, metabolic flexibility. Here's the simple version. Your body can run on two types of fuel, carbohydrates and fat. Metabolic flexibility is your ability to switch smoothly between them, depending on what's available, almost like a hybrid engine. When that flexibility breaks down, your body gets stuck relying almost entirely on carbohydrates, and you feel it. Energy crashes, cravings, difficulty losing weight, and difficulty thinking clearly. Dr. Berzine noted that women can lose this flexibility when they're overfed, sedentary, inflamed, or when estrogen begins to decline. She described estrogen as a foot on the gas for our metabolism, and when that support fades, the engine needs different inputs to keep running efficiently. Mark Sisson, speaking on the Ben Greenfield Life podcast at age 72, described one practical way to rebuild that fat-burning capacity, reducing carbohydrate intake to roughly 50 grams per day for a period of 3 to 4 weeks. Now, that's not a forever prescription. The goal isn't lifelong restriction. It's more like rebooting a system that's been running on one fuel source for too long so that it remembers how to use both. Once that flexibility returns, you have far more dietary freedom. Think of it as expanding your body's vocabulary, not eliminating words. Connected to all of this is a structural protein that quietly holds the body together in ways most people never fully appreciate. Collagen makes up 30% of all the protein in your body. It's the scaffolding inside your bones, not just the calcium, but the flexible framework that keeps bones from being brittle. It lines your gut, your artery walls, your heart valves, your tendons and ligaments. Dr. Eric Berg explains it this way. When collagen is scarce, your body triages it, directing what it has toward survival-critical functions first. That means joints, gums, skin, and cartilage are often the first places you'll notice a shortfall in the form of aching knees, receding gums, or skin that's losing its resilience. Vitamin C is the essential partner your body needs to build and maintain collagen. Without it, the whole construction process stalls. And on the other side, excess sugar actively damages collagen through a process called glycation, which makes collagen stiff and brittle over time. Think of glycation like caramelizing the scaffolding inside your joints. The simple takeaway, vitamin C-rich foods, like bell peppers, berries, and leafy greens, genuinely support your structural foundation in a way that's easy to act on today. Now for women specifically, Exercise physiologist and nutrition scientist Dr. Stacy Sims brought a perspective that may genuinely reframe how you think about movement. Almost everything we know about exercise science, the foundational research that shaped training guidelines, recovery recommendations, and nutrition advice, was conducted on men and then applied to women. Dr. Sims is direct about this. Women are not small men, and the differences go deeper than hormones. At the muscular, metabolic, gut microbiome, and even brain metabolism level, women's bodies respond differently to exercise and nutrition. One of her most counterintuitive points, women naturally have more slow-twitch, endurance-type muscle fibers and stronger antioxidant responses than men. In practical terms, this means most women are already biologically built for endurance, and adding more cardio on top of that isn't where the biggest return on investment lives. What moves the needle more meaningfully is strength and power training. True high-intensity intervals at around 80% of maximum effort, progressing toward heavier resistance over time. This becomes especially important as estrogen fluctuates and declines through perimenopause. Because specific muscle proteins begin to dysfunction, gut microbiome diversity decreases, and the brain's energy metabolism starts to shift in ways that elevate cognitive risk. The answer, Dr. Sims argues, is not to exercise less, it's to train differently. She also noted something practical around timing. Women have a higher cortisol awakening response in the morning, and that cortisol is tightly linked to hunger hormones. Eating within about an hour of waking and front-loading calories toward morning and midday, rather than eating a large meal late in the evening, can help regulate those hormones, reduce afternoon cravings, and support better sleep by allowing melatonin to rise naturally once the sun goes down. Mark Sisson rounded out this conversation with something he calls the decathlon approach to physical capability, the idea that chasing a single metric like VO2 max or running more miles can actually come at the cost of the things that most protect your quality of life as you age. He referenced public health data showing that after age 65, about 1 in 3 people experiences a fall, and of those who break a hip, roughly 25% don't survive the following year, and another 30 to 40% are left significantly less mobile. These numbers point quietly but urgently to the value of foot strength, balance, and proprioception, your body's sense of where it is in space. None of those are meaningfully developed by cardio alone. Something as simple as practicing standing on one foot, eyes closed, for as long as you can, builds the neuromuscular coordination that actually keeps you on your feet when the ground shifts unexpectedly. Finally, Donna Gates, founder of Body Ecology, extended this picture even further into the months before conception. She described how your genes carry what she called epigenetic tags, shaped by your diet, stress, toxic exposures, and infections, and that these marks can be passed to your children. The hopeful element is a natural reset window in the very early days after conception, when many of those tags are erased, offering a clean slate, provided both parents have spent time preparing their bodies beforehand. Her practical focus centers on gut microbiome health, mitochondrial support through B vitamins and healthy fats, reducing toxic burden, and ensuring adequate omega-3 fatty acids, ideally beginning 6 months to 2 years before trying to conceive. It's a reminder that health is not just personal. It ripples outward across generations. Before we close, a gentle and important note. Everything shared here is for educational purposes only. It's drawn from conversations with physicians, researchers, and health educators, and while it's grounded in science, it is not a substitute for personalized guidance from your own healthcare provider. If you're managing a cardiovascular condition, navigating perimenopause or menopause, living with blood sugar concerns, or taking prescription medications, please bring these ideas to a provider who knows your full picture before making significant changes. And if anything feels sudden, severe, or simply unlike anything you felt before, please reach out to your care team right away. That conversation is always the right step. For today, here is one simple, cost-free step you can take right now. The next time you eat, add one vitamin C-rich food to your plate. A handful of berries, a few slices of bell pepper, some dark leafy greens. Not because it's a dramatic intervention, but because your body is quietly building and repairing collagen every single day. and it needs that cofactor to do it well. Small, consistent inputs add up to something real. That's your functional health briefing for today. Thank you for being here and for caring about your well-being with such intention. Come back tomorrow. There's always more to explore. You've got this. Take care of yourself.